welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Gopi Sirineni, the president and CEO of Axiata, spearheading transformative security technologies with AI and hardware. Gopi is a Silicon Valley veteran with over 25 years of successes in the semiconductor, software, and systems industries. Welcome to the podcast, Gopi.
Hi there. Thank you. Thank you for the welcoming to podcasting here. Love to chat with you.
So one of the first questions I ask people is, what first brought you to semiconductors? So hopefully you have an interesting story you can share.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't ask me that at all. So when I went to a boarding school and when I was a kid, and close to our boarding school, there was a military base, and I was intrigued by all the flights and stuff. A lot of people get excited by how they are flying, but somehow my interest was, how are they communicating to each other? How do they know go to one place to other? The communication was a key that made me to look into how that works. And I did fast forward that to me. I did my, undergrad degree back in India with satellite communications and communication specialization. We came to here to school to go to University of Arkansas, where I learned all this is semi-world. University of Arkansas is one of the renowned colleges which teaches the fabrication and semiconductors. That made me to be get a master's in Devlin in here and come over here to the Bay Area and start working in a computer and networking and a computing industry.
Yeah, you know, that it's interesting. My father was a pilot in the Air Force, and that's when I first really got interested in electronics. And then I went and got my pilot's license, and computers, you know, just brought me into it. And growing up in the Silicon Valley, it was kind of easier to do. But I think electronics really is what got people into semiconductors, and semiconductors are, of course, you know, the most important part of electronics these days. After that, your experience, what brought you to Axiata?
So just before the Axiata, let me give you for last, my experience in the Bay Area here. I just talked about my school right after the school to the campus interviews, came into companies like, came to the IDT, the Integrated Device Technology, that was the first job in Marvell and then Qualcomm and then here. And between these bigger companies, I had two other startups to work with. And during this process, I've been participating in the standards for all the networking, whether Ethernet, whether it is a SerDes type of it, or even the ATM days, working on the networking side. And also in my career, multiple times I bought an ARM architecture license and a PowerPC architecture license and build the processors in that field. And that made us to be some level, you can call me an expert on this, compute and networking side. With that combination, in the last company, we looked up for some security needs of what is happening in the world. And thanks to the world of all the attacks that came into the last decade or so for the ransomware and attacks on the cybercrime and all that stuff is happening. I don't think anything in the world is going to be any more physical war. Mostly it's going to be cyber war. And everything is digitized with all that my experience in my life so far in this professional world. What we created is computers, hardwares, in systems, infrastructure, servers, and all that stuff to be connectivity network. So everything in our financial data to be all the way to your personal data, everything is digitized and that need to be protected. And that made me the intrigue in the last company, Qualcomm, in trying to look for how we can protect these things. And then that made to come to this company, which is working on exactly how to protect the cybersecurity infrastructure world. And that made me to come to the Axiata. And we can talk a little more of Axiata here.
Right. Cybersecurity, I'm fairly new to it. We've been tracking it on SemiWiki for the past 5 years, and I think it's one of the most interesting topics. And you're right, cybercrime or cyber wars really is the biggest concern. And, that's the good news, but it's also the bad news. And even websites, SemiWiki is constantly,
people are trying to break into it. And for what reason, I don't know. You know, I mean, we don't have, we're not hiding Bitcoin or anything on here, but it is a big market and it is a very complicated product. So what does Oxiato do? I mean, what makes your products unique in this market?
So we are we're founded in 2017. We're around close to 90 plus people today. And what we do is we call it as a hardware-based AI-driven security co-processors. Okay, it's a long sentence, but what we do is hardware security. Everything in the world, we just talked about cyber attacks has been happening in the world. And today, is most of the world is implementation of the security, of a digital security in this I'm talking about, is an afterthought. And if you notice, the last 2 decades has been a computer industry, you know, from Intel, and CPU started, I remember starting at a day, 300 megahertz CPUs to now 3 gigahertz CPUs with, multi-millions of cores working together and then AI algorithms something. So everybody created this high computing, how to work is in a cloud and et cetera and all that. And then, oh, by the way, we need to protect all this. Okay, let's buy a lock and lock it, which is a software in this case. Unfortunately, security has been an afterthought. So everybody's doing a race now with, outsmarting the hackers, the state actors versus with your software. So good or bad, software is the problem. Software is the solution at this point. So you're basically having a rat race to outsmarting each other. But you need a fundamental. And last half a decade or so, the zero trust model has become a bigger, which is basically saying that, okay, when I'm given access to a digital system, and it will not, in the olden days, once you have it, you'll remember that and you continue to come back to that system. But what's changed in the last half a decade or so is it's called zero trust model. So it means every time you come in, you can authenticate yourself multiple times in the multi-factor authentication. So that's all great. But all these zero trust models for the software uses something called a root of trust. Consider that as a social security number for any digital system, whether that's a phone, whether it's a router, whether it is in a gateway, whether it is in a server or a big cloud center, doesn't matter. Any digital system has this social security number called root of trust. So people use that as the key identity in any authentication of these things. Unfortunately, if you lose that identity, then doesn't matter how much of software you can put. It's like you lock the keys for your building and somebody has a master key. It doesn't matter how many times you're locking into that, as long as the master key is there, he's coming in. So what we do in Oxiato is exactly wherever these so-called ransomware attacks comes up, which has been a compromised root of trust and a keys and stuff like that, private and public key combinations, we protect and we defend with a hardware-based solution here. And we implement on a platform, per platform AI. We learn everything is what is coming up. So we have a neural network engines inside. So bringing the AI to the platform on a hardware level and learning what's going on so we can detect. That's the difference. Definitely there's a software on top too also. So we're not changing, Oxiato is not changing what has been a zero trust model solutions in the market today with the software, but we're actually redefining the zero trust to the truthful, giving the fundamental basis to support that. That's the big difference for us. So just to exactly against every ransomware. So most of the ransomware happens because you are getting to the system, you've taken over as a super user, you block out everybody, and that's the way to you get, somebody has to pay you before you can take out. Unfortunately, you cannot track where the guy came in because he's removing the digital trace when you're going away after you pay, and you won't know he can come back even after you paid a ransomware. That's unfortunate situations on that. So what we do is completely forensic data collection, all that, because we are a processor and outside of the platform, which is called a co-processor. So we call ourselves, we are a Bruce Willis in, or John McCain, his character name in Die Hard movies. He's always in the building, similar to us, and threat actor, in this case, is a villain, does not know he existed in the beginning. Before the villain or a threat actor, in our case, in cyber security world, before they notice that we exist, so we collected enough data about the information, and then we communicated and seek for help from the outside, similar to that movie. So that's pretty much sums up in what we do at Oxiato.
That's a good movie reference. can you give us some examples of some high profile cyber attacks that could have been prevented by Oxiato?
Yeah, so I'll do the reverse out a couple of examples. Recently, something is reported called Pants Down. You know, that's the name of that is called Pants Down. So this is an attack happened in some of the systems. Unfortunately, that's not new. And all that happens is recycle some old attacks. So most of the attacks reported in, you know, tracked in something called CVE database, vulnerability database. These are like top three companies monitor these. You know, crowdsource means you got to give the information to put what type of attack came in and all that information to be. So this was already reported many years ago, but it recycled that back. What is happening is, you know, most of the ransomware type of the world is the dark web and all this, you know, hacker chatter type of places people go and look for, and ransomware is becoming as a service. So people can take and then, you know, go attack on different systems and then you get paid and et cetera, all that. You can be shared. So that Pants Down was the previous attack. So there is no system way of saying that your platform is a server or a data center or anything is actually protected against whatever has been reported. So we, if we, there was a chip of ours in our solution or a card of our solution is in those systems, we would have been completely monitoring. There's a daemon running in our side. We'll go to, we'll guarantee you that anything reported in the world so far will guarantee to be protected with against those. That means you will be able to stop that kind of attacks, number one. Number two is like, if you know the biggest DoD attack last year happened here, a year and a half ago happened, called SolarWinds. Those SolarWinds attacks, very structural, high-level state actor attack happened in the world. For us, it's on our defense system. And it came up to be multiple places. You know, how, you know, you go with the, for the bank robbery and think like in the movies you see, you turn off the cameras first or alter the cameras, not showing anything. So whatever the checkers we do, they basically attack that system, turn off that system first, and then able to come and steal the data. So we don't even know what data has been, you know, stolen on that type of attacks. If we add in our solution in any of those things, where they're turning off the cameras or, you know, checkers in there to be, or any of these software, which is an open source one updated to the systems and able to be updated without authentication, all that would have been detected for us. So one of those paths, and they say attack happened, is some malware loaded into one of the systems. And normally what you do is you don't compile. There's only checks of saying you don't compile that new code. And if it's brand new, means within a week old or, you know, whatever, days old, versus if it is maybe 3 weeks old, and you will be able to run because you believe that's all trusted. So what they did is the bad actors in here, they put it in, and then you're sleeping as a dormant for a few weeks until that time passed, and then you're able to run that as a trusted entity. Once you do that, unfortunately, you've already taken over the system or given access to that. We would have stopped because our AI is able to monitor this. That's complete differences in there. We learned that's not the profile, that's not the access. So we would have stopped all those attacks.
Got it.
Okay.
So, you know, if a company gets hit by a ransomware or, you know, a cyber attack, they're probably the easiest to convince, you know, about your product, the value proposition of your product. But, you know, how do you convince the other companies that haven't been hit yet? You know, how do you convince a CSP or a 5G network operator or their ecosystem of ODMs, OEMs, and everybody else? How do you convince them to add your chip to their hardware system?
So, then you already answered the question in, you know, inside itself. So we normally like, this is trained by, I got the training from Marvell and Qualcomm in here, this kind of opportunity to approach the problem. We go to customers, means in this case, as you just talked about, somebody got attacked. So let's take the financial world, JP Morgan, Bloomberg, you know, any Bank of America type of guys. Let's take those guys care security highly because they're holding the financial details. If you're able to convince their CISOs that, you know, whatever the attacks happened so far, I would have been protected to you. If I can show that demo to them and they see the value of what we are providing it, and we get the more input from them. Once you got that, you go to the, going into any CSPs of the world or 5G deployment guys, and you can explain how we make it different. So today, it's not that we don't have a security. Obviously, you know that the world has been, you know, pretty decently secured already. But unfortunately, there are some, you know, new stuff is coming up. You have to be able to be really 99.999% of accuracy need to be there. That's where we add a value. So you go to them. Today, the solutions are mostly solved with a discrete piece of silicon combinations and discrete piece of software together. We had to be able to show, we can show, but that's what we're doing already. That's why we signed up some customers. to show the value of how we get to a one TCU. Our product families are called TCUs, Trusted Compute and Control Units. This is a new breed of silicon, which comes with a lot more compute and the ground-up purpose-built processor too. And if we show them just plugging into their existing server, how we can give a provider solution, how we can stop some of the attacks already happened, that's one way to convince. The two, the biggest problem, as you know, is the financial deployment. If a server or a data center is an attack, let's take an AWS or Azure, if any of these cloud services guys get attacked, and biggest problem for them is a downtime. You had to be able to bring it back. That's the biggest promise they give it to the customers. So for a ransomware attack happens, not only he loses the data, but also the whole system is down. He has to replace completely. Whereas with our solutions, we can tell him that to be first, we will stop while that is happening in the world. The two, even that happens, and I have a forensic data for him to be able to go chase where that came from so that he can prevent that. Three, I can completely able to change it, repurpose the existing system without completely coming down. So all three cases is highly valuable for their commercial value already, along with the real solution we'll be providing. That way, we're able to make convincing customers. We can't keep up with the customers at this point with the size of the company. So that has been so far good.
Yeah, I put SemiWiki in the cloud, in Google Cloud, a few years ago, and one of the biggest motivations was because of security. I assumed I would be much more secure than having a smaller server farm, which I had, and I do sleep better, but I still have concerns. My wife actually works for J.P. Morgan, and so I hear, and I'm more attuned to listening to issues on the financial side, and while they're compelling, I can tell you that those folks don't sleep as well at night as I do. But yeah. But between the pandemic and the supply chain issues and all the complexities we've experienced over the last 3 years, I mean, how are you guys keeping on track? How are you maintaining the faith of your customers and your investors and your employees? I mean, this is a difficult time.
It is definitely a difficult time. It's a high demand needs were there already in the world. Last decade has been a semiconductor was what down. And that's because we built, obviously futuristic systems a decade ago. That was enough to service the last decade. And then just before the pandemic itself is we were hitting the computer network boundaries of what has been a systems available already. And there was a high need of infrastructure, completely rebuilt again, thanks to the all social media world and remote workplaces. And pandemic made it more worse because now everybody has to work for everybody, including my grandfather, need to do the online banking system and all that stuff. So it made it high demand on that. So that made it a supply, that made it all that we're in the shortage of everything in the world of supply chain for us. But luckily, I've been in the industry long enough. I had a good relationship with a lot of people. We are at a stage of the company that I don't need a high volume yet today. So in a year from now, yes, I need a high volume that, most probably the supply chain constraints will go away. But I made a partnership and investments from everybody in the food chain, from OEM to ODM to, fab guys, everybody participated to help us as there's an incentive for them to make us successful, so they're all contractually helping us to be. So that's one way to work with, obviously making everybody incentivized to work with us. So in a way, we had that problem, I would say 8 months ago, but now everything is committed for us to be able to deliver. So fortunately, we may be a few companies able to achieve that, and we're good with able to, ride this, bad wave of supply chain today.
Yeah, it caught us by surprise, but I think it's taught us, that we did have weaknesses in our supply chain, and, the work at home thing certainly brought security, to a much higher level. But I think we've adopted. I think, it's one of those things, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. I think the semiconductor industry is in a much stronger position than we've ever been. So I look at the upside, of things like this. But what do you see in the future for Axiato, say the next 3 to 5 years?
So for us, this year is an execution. So we had to deliver the product to the customers this year. A few customers signed up already waiting for us. And the next year, signing up more customers to be, and we have a lot of traction a lot of people able to now start looking at, as you just talked about, we're not, you know, security is a big word right now to be able to be addressed, and there's not enough companies, and we hope a lot more Oxiaros will start to work on that. We may be the pioneer and the first guy to do this. So the world is looking for solutions like us. So we will be, you know, basically ramping up that and making a, beyond the two markets we are addressing today, the data centers and our 5G base station side, we'll expand to the networking and the rest of the market to be able to do. So what we see in 5 years, if I can stop next two solar wind attacks, and if I can stop or make the, you talked about your wife works at JP Morgan. So if I can tell, let's maybe take a simple example, you know, most of us live in a stock market thing in here. If I can tell a, you know, Bloomberg or say NASDAQ itself, hey, we will be able to protect you for the next decade, for sure. We'll continue to learn. If I can make that statement as a company, that would be the biggest achievement for us. And we expect to grow pretty much doubling, you know, every year in a revenue and a people-wise also. We want to become one of the biggest security definition in the world. Anybody look for security for platform, it will be us. You know, maybe now infrastructure, but we'll do everything in the world. So.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think AI and hardware, you know, AI specifically, but AI and hardware is the best solution for security, and it's going to be something we're going to have to, pursue relentlessly, because I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges we're going to see, you know, over the next 5 years. So I think you have the right business model, and I think you're right. It's all about execution.
Yeah, so just to add on top, why would we be different and why we will be successful and confident in that? Our AI is different than the rest of the world. Most of the world of AI is abused or, you know, pretty much used as a computer vision-based inference engine, means most of the autonomous car and everything, traffic cameras you're talking about, you process those inferences or elements and make up the decisions. What we do is a packet information, packet data, and how the packets are coming, what type of packets are coming, where it's coming, et cetera. With that network analytics of those data information, then we bring that AI. That's the difference of the AI we're able to see and bring the security much better.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, great conversation. Thank you, Gopi. And we hope to talk to you again soon.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Daniel.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day. We'll be right back.